Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I woke up today, as I always do early in the morning when I'm doing Undisputed. Shout out to Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp and Jenny Taft. And I turned on First Things First and Get Up. And, you know, I like to see what's going on and hear what people are saying and all that. And people are raving about Jimmy Garoppolo. And look, I'm a Jimmy Garoppolo fan. This guy's 16-2 as a starter. Nothing to sneeze at. But can we hold the phones? They're raving because he had four touchdowns last night, threw for 317 yards, his first game over 300 yards, by the way, this year, and a victory, a 28-25 victory over the Cardinals. Can we slow down a little bit? I like Jimmy G, and I like the 49ers. But stop it with they're the best team in the league. I'm going to give you credit for this, Rob Parker. You're big on strength of schedule, and that's smart. Because the 49ers' strength of schedule is weak. They have beaten two winning teams, the Los Angeles Rams and the Carolina Panthers. Now, they smashed the Panthers. I give them credit. And they handily beat the Rams, 20-7. But listen to the other six teams they've beaten. Tampa Bay.
Terrible.
Cincinnati.
Terrible.
Winless. Pittsburgh.
Terrible.
Cleveland.
Cowell. Terrible.
Washington.
Terrible, terrible.
Well, they aren't winless. They won one. And Arizona.
Terrible.
Those
terrible,
six horrible. Teams really are bad. Combined 11-34. So if Rob Parker, if you're about to sit here and tell me, oh, the Patriots, it's got to be killing them. Jimmy G is just tearing it up on the left coast. But this is what Belichick was talking about. Save it. Because the New England Patriots are still ranked number one in every single power ranking known to man except the Hippos. So don't give me the Jimmy G. I like Jimmy G, but they're fine with the GOAT.
They're not fine. Are you kidding? Here we go. If I'm a New England Patriots fan, I'm sick. I'm watching the future. We got a 10-man hobbled 42-year-old quarterback who's taking advantage. You want to talk about the schedule? Tom Brady's schedule is even easier. They play just the Buffalo Bills. That's the only team they've beaten. And Jimmy G is way younger. You'd have a chance down the road when the Tom Brady boat is over. And don't forget, we saw the future with Tom Brady. Did you watch the Super Bowl? No touchdowns. One pick, one fumble. He was awful.
Did they win?
Be quiet,
what
Chris
happened
Broussard.
To short menu?
And that's what
no
I'm telling you about.
No hypocrisy on the eye couple.
No.
Short menu. Short menu.
But Jimmy G, short menu is a no. So how can you knock him? He's done nothing but win. It's about winning. And I'd rather win with a young quarterback rather than a grizzled veteran who's on his last leg. Tom Brady is old news. When Tom Brady was great, great with Randy Moss, they were still using typewriters. Tom Brady is old. Freaking old. Let's face it. Look at his numbers this year.
Yeah, look at his
They're
numbers.
They're not winning because
now,
of Tom Brady.
Let me tell you about his numbers. You
They're
brought
winning
it up.
Because of the defense.
He has thrown for about 500 more yards than Jimmy Garoppolo in the same number of games.
Oh, my, 500. What does that come out to divided by 8? Rob G, is that 38 yards a game?
He has 13 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Your boy Jimmy G, 13 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And before last night's performance, he had 9 touchdowns.
It doesn't matter. Add the 4 touchdowns and on those other 3 interceptions more, all of those were tips.
Tom,
so they didn't even really count.
You said yourself, Rob Parker, that if you had to win one game, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't even enter your thought process.
Well, but now that he's undefeated and he's 8-0, I'd have to reevaluate.
You would reevaluate, but at the end of the day, you'd say, you know what? Give me the GOAT. Give me TB12.
I want the younger guy who has a bigger upside.
He's out there. What is he doing?
He's
hanging out with who knows who he's hanging out with.
That's all right.
Tom Brady is home every night with his model wife, drinking avocado shakes, working out, making sure he's ready for Sunday. What is Jimmy G doing?
Jimmy G is a man's man. He's out with the porn stars. He's big on a Saturday night, and then you know what? He delivers on Saturday night and Sunday morning.
Is he gonna last?
Hell yeah.
18 years, 20 years. Is he going to play till he's 45 like Tom Brady?
As long as that approval on the credit card goes through, he'll be there.
Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady could do that.
No, Tom can't.
Rob
Jimmy
Parker.
G is why Bill Belichick gave him away. He was so distraught that he had his hand-picked successor to Tom Brady, and they didn't want to pull the trigger. Bill Belichick could be doing the same exact thing. You plug in Jimmy Garoppolo, he could be 8-0 with this team the same way that Tom Brady is. Anybody could do what Tom Brady is doing with the defense. The defense has scored more touchdowns than the touchdowns allowed. That's how freaking great the defense is. This ain't about Tom Brady.
He's throwing for 280 yards a game.
That's nothing.
280 yards a game.
Tom Brady is not the same guy. You know that. This is about the defense. And you'd rather have a younger quarterback with a longer shelf life. And Bill Belichick could have been like, look at what I'm doing. I'm a defensive guy. This defense is unbelievable, and I'm winning with Jimmy G. And people would say, it wasn't Tom Brady. It's about Bill Belichick.
Look.
And that's what was taken away from Bill. This is where I want to pull out a Kleenex, because I think Bill Belichick's career and legacy was damaged by the owner picking Tom Brady instead of Bill Belichick.
The owner did the right thing, because here's the deal.
He fell in love with Tom Brady.
And as much as I respect Bill Belichick as the greatest coach of all time.
Oh, now he's the greatest.
I've been saying that. He's got the stains, as you like to bring up, but he's still the greatest coach in NFL history. As much as I respect that, here's the record. 7 years without Tom Brady as his quarterback. How many of those years did he have a winning record,
Chris,
Rob
you're
Parker?
Talking about
how
the many old days. He was in Cleveland with some bad teams.
Can you answer the
how
question?
How could you go back 25 years?
Can you answer
years?
The question?
25 years two. Is what you're using?
Winning years in those 7 seasons.
He was a new head coach who was learning
no,
the job.
No, some of that is in New England.
That was early on when he got to New England.
He had Drew Bledsoe.
You want to look at, let's look at the last decade.
He had Drew Bledsoe, they went 5-11.
Chris.
Then they lose their first two games the next season with Drew Bledsoe. Tom Brady comes in to start, and the rest is history. They win 11 games that year and the Super Bowl.
Do you know what?
Don't act like Tom Brady is just a game manager.
That's
don't
what he was
like
last
Tom
year.
Tom Brady is just someone you could throw anybody in there. Tom Brady is the GOAT. He's a winner. And as much as I love Bill Belichick as a coach, Brady is the engine.
No, he's not. And here's a perfect example.
Brady
you're going
is the
back
engine.
To talk about years gone by. When they do your credit report, Chris, how many years do they look on there to see how you paid your bills? Is it 15 years? Is it 20 years?
What does that got to do with
it's only anything? It's only the last 3 years. You don't care about what somebody did 10 years ago. That doesn't tell you how good
football,
they are financially in football.
This is not,
it's
we're
about
not
what
buying
you did,
a car.
What you did for me lately, Janet Jackson.
As much
Jackson,
as we love AutoZone.
It ain't about that.
As much
about
as we
that.
Love True Car,
it's
we're
about
not
now.
Buying an automobile. Don't even bring that madness into this discussion. And all you want to, and look, again, this is nothing against Jimmy G. I like Jimmy G. But they got their new Jimmy G. His name is Jared Stidham.
You know what you got?
And when Tom Brady's ready to hang it up, and I'm telling you, the New England Patriots, Tom Brady has said recently, he still wants to play until he's 45.
Good luck with that, because that ain't happening.
The New England Patriots should not run him out of town after this season.
I would run him out.
They need to keep Tom Brady.
Like all big-time quarterbacks who had to move on, Tom Brady
will
be another one.
He's bigger than any of them.
He's not bigger.
He's bigger than any of them.
No quarterback is bigger than the football team.
He is bigger than all of them.
And when he gets shuffled off to Buffalo or wherever he winds up.
Watch Buffalo start winning.
You're going to be like, oh, well, I guess. And then Tom Brady looks awful.
So if they win the Super Bowl this
year. Then stop with that. They're not winning.
Stop with that.
They're not going to win. They haven't played anybody. When they play a good team, they'll wind up losing.
You just brought up Buffalo. You've been raving about Buffalo. And I'm not letting you off the hook like
that. That's the only good team that they play.
I'm not letting you off the hook like that. Because you sat here in that chair. You stood up in that spot. You got on your high horse. You had your little American patriotism music playing. And you predicted that the New York Jets are going to make the playoffs. So don't poo-poo them now. The Patriots had to go through the Jets. They had to go through the Jets en route to this 8-0 record. So you can't have it both ways. They beat the Jets that you thought were a playoff team. So they better keep Tom Brady for as long as he'll have them. I'm telling you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We bring him in every week. He's got his own theme music. And now we know he's short and husky like Rob G, so we like him even more. It's our man, the MGM Grand Racing Sportsbook Director, Lamar Mitchell.
Lamar.
What's up, fellas? What's up?
My man Lamar took care of me when I went to Vegas. He is the man without question.
I would expect nothing less.
Thank you so much, Lamar. It was great to meet you out there.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you, finally. Nice.
Quickly, Lamar, before we get into the football, you going to the big fight tomorrow? Kovalev and Canelo Alvarez?
I will not be going. I'll be watching in the comforts of the house.
Okay. Very nice. So you will be checking it out. Big fight. I'm in. Who you got in that one?
Well, Kovalev didn't make weight, so it doesn't look good for him. But, you know, everyone's on Alvarez. You know, you got a 10-year age gap between these two guys. And, you know, just 10 weeks ago, Kovalev had a bloodbath in Russia. And, you know, all the signs are pointing towards Canelo.
So most of the money on Canelo?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Oh, Canelo, definitely the public fighter. Definitely.
Okay. Kovalev can hit, though.
Oh, yeah, he can.
Okay. All right, well, let's get to football. Rob and I opened the show talking about Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo with the Niners. Rob says it's killing the Patriots to watch Jimmy G lead the 49ers to an 8-0
record. That's their future right there.
I think he's full of hot air. All right, let me ask you this. If Jimmy G was in New England instead of Tom Brady, how much does the line change on a week-to-week basis?
Oh, let's see. You got TB12, the greatest quarterback of all time. They wouldn't be as big of a favorite as they are in a lot of those games that they are because of Brady's experience.
Lamar, it's about that defense. They got four touchdowns and have given up three. It ain't about Brady.
It is about the defense, but still offensively, you still have to have somebody that can get the ball to the weapons that they have. And, you know, their weapons are depleted compared to what they've had in the past.
Like what weapons?
He makes
them weapons. That's why he's the G-O-A-T.
Exactly. Like yep. I say, I mean, we could go out there and run some patterns, and he'd make us look awesome.
I could catch 80 balls.
Please stop it. Please.
Well, you just had a birthday, so happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And
42, he all looks
51. All
so
up 51.
Hey, let me follow up with this quickly. Which undefeated team is tougher to set the line for and why? New England or San Francisco?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, you know what you have with New England with the defense, and you know what you have with the offense and with the coach. It's a little bit harder for the Niners only because it's a new experience for them, and you don't know how they're going to play. You know how you hear about college kids when they read the press clippings when it comes to the basketball tournament? This is kind of like that same situation with the Niners. They're a very young team, and they can be an emotional roller coaster up and down, whereas you got Belichick leading that team and Brady leading that team, so it's a lot easier to set the line for those guys. Plus, you know, as both teams, especially when the Niners are good like they used to be back in the 90s, they're a popular team too, but, you know, everybody right now is just on the Patriots, so it's a lot easier to make that number for the Patriots.
Hey, Lamar, let's talk about the Jets. I thought they were going to have a chance to have a good season. Then, of course, the quarterback got mono, and it kind of derailed the whole season. But then they go out at the trade deadline and basically put everybody up for sale. Yet, they're still the road favorites in Miami because of the way the Dolphins are playing. How hard is it to set a line for the Dolphins when they look like they're trying to lose, you know what I mean, to get a draft pick?
Yeah, we were talking about that today, too, because, like you said, I mean, the Jets on the fire sale, Dolphins looking like they're just trying to lose every game. We know the number with the Dolphins, it's always the sharp money's always going to come in on the other side. So in this game here, sharp money's all on the Jets, and there's really not a lot of public money backing the Dolphins at all. So it's basically the sharps are just going to bet against the Jets, bet against the Dolphins, unless the number is going to be outrageous. And really, so far, it hasn't been that far where it's been crazy, except for when they played the Patriots the first time.
And December 22nd, you'll probably be up all night trying to figure out. That's Week 16. Bengals at the Dolphins. Both teams could be winless, trying to lose. Tell me who would be favored entering that game. I know that's a little ways away.
Oh, my gosh. Bengals at the Dolphins?
Yep, it would be at the Dolphins. So maybe they would be the favorite?
Bengals probably would be a small favorite, real small, maybe one, only because we know what we have with the Dolphins, and we don't know what we have with this new quarterback for the Bengals. And that's going on a real flimsy limb, I'm saying that number right now.
All right, Lamar, we got the Texans and the Jags. This is a tough one to pick because we're doing it for our pigskin pickoff. Texans and the Jags
in London.
I'm picking
at 71%.
In London, no, he's not. 68, which is still good, but you're dropping. You're dropping like rain, my man. All right, Sunday in London, they play. So nobody's got the home field advantage, and I know that's a big deal in gambling. What kind of things do you look for when you set a line on a game like this? Past history, common opponents, how early they got into town, what?
Oh, all those, especially with this matchup here, because they are in the same division. So we look at their head-to-head matchups with these guys, and especially with Jacksonville, because they played the six games there. They're 3-3. We look at when they got in town, and the power rankings of what the teams are actually doing, you know, in the season right at this time. So, I mean, the money is coming in on Jacksonville. We opened this game 2, and it's down to 1. But the ticket count is pretty even. And like I say, Jacksonville, it is their home base. You know, the owner wants to make that his place, where that's his home team. So it's kind of tough when you have a situation where teams don't play each other. If it was Jacksonville versus Tampa that don't play each other, you know, twice a year. But this is a situation where these two teams play each other twice a year. And believe it or not, Jacksonville is 1-0. Versus right. AFC South teams in London. So, you know, going for the 2-0 record here. So, but, you know, you can't really, in this situation with Deshaun Watson, you cannot go against Deshaun Watson, in my opinion.
It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Our guest, Lamar Mitchell from the MGM Grand. And, Lamar, let's switch up a little bit over to baseball. 2 weeks ago, the Astros were the biggest World Series favorite since 2007. Everybody thought it was in the bag, like Chris Broussard, who lost a pair of Jordans to me. But anyway, nobody was giving the Nationals a real chance. Was it a big loss for you guys at the MGM Grand that Washington was able to come back and win it?
No, actually, we needed the Nats to win it because we had so much money on the Astros all year building up. And the Nats were, you know, like I said, they were that team that was riding that crest. That momentum, once they won that first game in the postseason, the playoff, and you know, nobody believed in them. Like I say, I mean, they swept the Cardinals Nobody believed him against the Dodgers. So, yeah, it was actually a good decision for us.
All right, Lamar, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy the fight and enjoy the weekend. We'll talk
Absolutely.
To you next week.
You too, guys.
All right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Get your tickets today to see boxing's best fighter, Canelo Alvarez, take on Sergey Kovalev tomorrow night in an absolute must-watch for any fight fans at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Canelo looking to make history by earning a world title in a fourth weight class. Buy your tickets today at AXS.com. That's AXS.com. Or call 888-929-7849. With that said, we want to bring in one of the top boxing writers out there. Also does a great job covering the NBA for Sports Illustrated.
What doesn't he do?
Right. He works for The Zone with boxing. Chris Mannis. Chris.
Chris.
What's happening, man?
What's going on, guys?
It's great to have you on, man. Big weekend. Let's start, as I mentioned, you cover the NBA for Sports Illustrated. So let's start there. We know you're really plugged in with the Celtics. They look good so far. I mean, it's early, but 3-1. Four players averaging 17 or more points. What's the different vibe around the team this year versus last year? Obviously, the big difference, Kemba Walker in for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it just feels like there's been a weight kind of lifted off their shoulders. I spent about 4 days around the team practices in the preseason, and you can tell. I mean, it's just a much looser atmosphere. I was obviously around that team a lot last year, and you know, a lot of it is Kyrie, and a lot of it is kind of the stuff that came with Kyrie. So, you know, removing him from the situation and replacing him with Kemba, who is, you know, kind of the anti-Kyrie in a lot of ways. You know, it really is a change in vibe in that locker room. The question is, as anyone would have, is it sustainable? And look, they came back and did a nice job beating the Bucks. That's great, but bigger teams are going to give them fits. They just can't win with Robert Williams and Enes Kanter and the handful of other guys they have on that Grant Williams, the rookie on that roster. They just need help. And look, if they make a trade and someone can turn like Daniel Tice's contract and a first round pick into a big man, I might look at them as a threat in the Eastern Conference. But until then, they're just a nice regular season team with upside.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What was your thought? You probably saw the ESPN article on Kyrie, and there was a report in it that, you know, he's already rubbing people in the Nets front office the wrong way with his mood swings. What was your reaction to that, knowing what happened in Boston last year?
I mean, not surprised, you know, at all that Kyrie is having some issues there. I mean, look, he's not cut out to be a leader. It's as simple as that. He's cut out to be a great basketball player on a team with a leader. And until Kevin Durant comes back, there just isn't there just isn't a way for him to kind of survive out there in that role. I mean, look, I said this to Sean Marks when I saw him a couple of weeks ago. I've said to a bunch of people, like, the best case scenario for the Nets is not advancing past the second round or advancing past the first round or winning more games than last year. It's just don't be dysfunctional. Don't end the year a total mess.
Right.
Just get through this season, figure it out, and then you go into next season maybe as the favorites because Kevin Durant comes back into your lineup. The big thing for the Nets is just not to have their house set on fire this season because of something Kyrie did.
Speaking of a team that looks like, and they don't have all their pieces yet, at least Paul George, what do you make of the Clippers so far and Kyrie? I'm picking them to win a title. I love Kawhi. I'm sorry. I love what they have put together. Where are you on the Clippers?
Yeah, it's hard not to love them because, you know, the way they play now, and when you put Paul George, who's I think is going to be kind of an effortless fit into that situation, it's a good mix. It really is. You know, Paul George is going to increase their defensive versatility. Offensively, I think he's going to fit in well as a second fiddle alongside you know, alongside Kawhi. I've never thought that Paul George, even though he has been the alpha and successful to a degree,
right,
he's always been better suited in that second role. So I like the way the Clippers mix work. Now, I do think they are going to be among the teams that needs to add a big at the buyout deadline. I think they'll be incredibly appealing for some of those guys that maybe find their way on the market. I mean, think about like an Aaron Baines in that group. Like, Aaron Baines would be terrific with that team. But that type of player, I think, will be the thing that pushes them above everybody else. Because right now, that thin front court is the only weakness. I mean, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell might duke it out for sixth man. Kawhi looks like Kawhi. I mean, they just have all the pieces you want to win a championship.
Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated and DAZN joining the iCouple. Let's go to boxing, Chris. Big fight, of course, Canelo and Sergey Kovalev this weekend. Kovalev, obviously the bigger guy, the light heavyweight, and he hits a ton. But most people seem to think Canelo's going to take him out. What is your analysis of this fight going in?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the odds are that Canelo wins this fight. He's younger, and even though he's significantly undersized going up against a guy like Kovalev. Kovalev is 36 years old. You know, he's had two knockout losses in the last 3 years. He's rebounded nicely this year. He's got two good wins on his resume against Lenny Alvarez, who we beat in a rematch, and against Anthony Yard, who he knocked out just back in August. But Alvarez, Canelo is the fresher fighter and certainly the better fighter. I think the key to this fight, two keys on either side. One for Canelo is, can he get to the body? This is one of the best body punchers in boxing, maybe the best body puncher in boxing. He's excellent, he's fast, and he's committed. He always goes to the body with those type of shots. Can he get inside on the bigger man and the bigger puncher? Can he take whatever punishment needed to take to get in on the inside? And for Kovalev, can he keep Canelo off him? I mean, Kovalev, at his best, has had one of the best jabs in all of boxing. It is a power jab. Just back in August, he knocked Anthony Yard out with the jab. So he has got some strength there at that spot, but he's never throw that out there, you know, 40, 50, 60 times around just to keep Canelo off him. You have to see in the early rounds how that goes, and that's going to determine the winner.
Kovalev being, what, 10 years older, what makes people interested in this fight with such a gap between these two? Is what you said about Kovalev boxing well lately? Is that why, or is there something else I'm missing on why
this is
interesting?
I think that's part of it. He's boxed well of late. He changed trainers a couple of fights ago, added Buddy McGirt, who's famous for helping to coax more years out of Arturo Gatti at the end of his career, has done a good job with Vernon Forrest at the end of his career. So he has helped some veteran fighters squeeze a little bit more juice out of themselves. And look, if this was two guys fighting in the same weight class, you'd say Canelo all day. It'd be 10-1, 15-1.
Right.
But they make weight classes for a reason. I mean, Canelo is moving up two weight classes. And I'll tell you this, I spent some time talking to Sugar Ray Leonard about his experience moving up in weight to fight Donnie Lalonde back in the late 1980s. And Ray won that fight. And if you just look at the box rec or the stats, you know, Ray won by knockout. But Ray told me in that first round, the first punch he took for Donnie Lalonde, he knew he was in for a long night. At the end of the night, after he won by knockout, he said he vacated that 175 or the heavier title immediately. He didn't want any part
like,
of that weight
class. I'm done. Thank you very much. Right.
So. Right. No, that's big. That's critical. So how do you think it is? It sounds like you think Canelo. Do you think by knockout?
I think, yeah, if I'm going to guess, I would say Canelo, 7th, 8th round stoppage. I will say this, and record it here, guys. I mean, you remember a couple of years ago where there was a huge judging controversy with Adelaide Bird and what happened with Canelo Golovkin in the first fight.
Yep.
There could be a similar thing developing here. There's a judge on this card named Don Trella, a veteran judge, done some good fights. But back in that Canelo Golovkin fight, he was one of the judges that had a really bad scorecard and that scored one round for Canelo that absolutely should have gone for Golovkin. And if he did score it for Golovkin, Golovkin would have won that fight. So that's something to keep an eye on. The one judge that you wonder, if it goes to a decision, which way is it going to swing?
Chris,
look at Chris putting a conspiracy out there. Wow.
We got about a minute left. And since you brought that up, I mean, I'm tired of these types of decisions. It's just ridiculous.
What do you want?
Is there an answer? I mean, is there any type of discussion within boxing to this? Because, you know, we've seen so many decisions where the public just entirely thought, and the writers, that it should have went the other way.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's talk of it all the time, but it's pretty simple. In the NBA, you have 3 referees or 14 referees in the finals. You pick the best ones. In boxing, You got to have the best referees, the best judges. Find the best three. I could name them off the top of my head. You find the best three judges, you use them, and that should be the end case. I don't think they're using the best three judges nationally. That should be the first thing that goes into place.
All right. He's Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior writer and DAZN boxing analyst. Great job, man. Enjoy the fight
tomorrow. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, brother. Peace.